And good morning. You are tuned into 88.5 KRFY, and this is the morning show on Tuesday, January 26th, and it's the last Tuesday in January. And I'm one of your co-hosts, Susie Prez. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Susie. I'm Chris Bessler, your co-host. How are you today?
I'm really great. Glad to be here. We have special guests in the studio, and we'll be here for a whole hour talking about...
And who are our special guests?
Why don't you tell us, Chris?
Well, we have with us Patricia Walker-White. She's Executive Director of the Panda Theater. And also Becky Wevack. She's the Panda Events Manager. And thank you both for coming.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And we're going to be talking about, you got a lot of cool stuff coming on at the Panda. Always stuff to talk about with the Panda. So
yeah.
Kind of, we'll be diving into that.
You're all inspired from a recent attendance at a conference, and we'll get into that and see what the trends are in the art house theater genre.
Awesome.
Yeah, that would be great. Before we get to that, though, how about a little weather from the National Weather Service? Currently, it's 32 degrees, and we can expect 20 to 40% chance of showers and a high of 36 today. Low tonight, 50% chance of rain with a low of 34. On Wednesday, high 39. And low 36, pretty much the same 30% chance to 50% chance of rain. And on Thursday, we have a 90% chance of rain with a high of 39. Kind of a rainy, rainy end of January.
Yes, it is. Although that's falling as snow mainly up higher, so that's good.
All those skiers are like jumping up and down every morning when they wake up.
Yeah. Also going on outside, sunrise this morning was at 7:22 a.m. Sunset will be at 4:35 p.m. tonight. Over the past week, we've gained 18 minutes of daylight every day.
I'm into that. That sounds really good.
Yeah, you can really tell it, too. When you get up in the morning, it's lighter earlier and the sun setting a little bit later, so... we are on our march towards now towards the equinox, the spring equinox. The full moon was Saturday. It's now waning, so it's 93% full tonight. The last quarter moon will come Monday. And up at Schweitzer, the last 24 hours, they've gotten an inch of snow. They have currently have 93 inches up on top, 59 inches at the lodge. They have all seven lifts running today, and the skiing conditions are on... groomed and powder, packed powder. So, and I understand that on Sunday they had some pretty nice skiing up there. We had those beautiful sun breaks. It was gorgeous out.
Yeah. It was even nice down here.
It was nice down here, yes. And the lake is at 2052.49 feet. It's come down just two tenths of a foot in the last week, but it's going to hold steady there, well through the rest of the season here until we start. They start filling it up again in late spring. And, Susie, what else is going on around this town?
Well, I know there's something tonight, kind of a follow-up on two interviews that we've had here at the KRFY studios on the morning show. Gary Payton was here before he went to the Paris Climate Summit, and then he came back and talked a little bit about the results and how it went. And he's also going to be at an Idaho Conservation League event tonight at the Columbia Bank Building. Starts at 5:30. Really bringing to the public some of the agreements that came out of the Paris Climate Summit. So I know that's going on.
Yep, there's that. Of course, like you mentioned, Gary had been in here earlier, so he has got a lot of interesting stuff to tell about what happened in Paris at the climate summit and what's going on in the world with climate change. The other things going on this week, well, of course, the biggest thing happening in the last week was the city council decided not to pursue a resolution on the refugee issue. And we had an interview just last week on this show with Mayor Ronstadt and Commissioner Bailey on the whole refugee issue. And hopefully everybody will take a deep breath now and we'll get back to...
And move on to the big issues like city parking.
Yeah.
I hear that's on the agenda.
Yeah, the things we can really affect here. With
that's always on the agenda.
City parking, yes. Yeah. And of course, there's a ton going on in town and we'll hopefully have some time at the end of the broadcast to talk about the calendar. But some of the biggest things going on in town are at the Panda Theater this week. And again, we have with us Patricia Walker-White. She's the executive director, and Becky Reback. She's the Panda Events Manager. Thanks for coming in, Patricia and Becky. And where to begin? Because there's so much going on right now at the Panda, but you have a really interesting show coming up this weekend.
We do. We have the Oscar Shorts, and that's kind of Becky's area of expertise. The Oscar Shorts have been shown at the Panada, but we often didn't get them until May, but Becky was able to make a great impression on them last year. We got them right as they were released, and this year they called us. So we're really excited for those. And some of the films that we've already shown through the Manhattan Shorts are now on the Oscar nominations. So Sandpoint saw them first before they hit that. So that's always exciting.
So let's talk a little bit about the Oscars. We've got, I'm sure, a lot of movie fans. Everybody's a movie fan, it seems. Everybody has a favorite. Actually, I just went to see The Revenant, which is one of the Oscar-nominated movies. And
is it intense?
It was too much, actually. I really didn't enjoy it. There was too much gore going on. But it was a really fascinating depiction of the early West when the fur trappers were here. It's the story of Hugh Glass, who was, of course, a legendary mountain man who was badly injured by a grizzly bear mauling, left for dead, ends up dragging himself through the wilderness for a couple hundred miles and actually seeking revenge. And now that's based on a true figure, Hugh Glass. And Leonardo DiCaprio, that's up for Best Picture.
That's up for Best Picture. And we made a request for that, but that's a great example of we don't show them every day. So sometimes we have to wait our turn to get those releases. But we were, and it's not typical Panada genre maybe, but because it had been filmed up here, we had had a lot of requests from people who are actually on the film crew or in that genre up there that wanted to see that film on the big screen of the Panada.
Yeah.
So that's been on our list.
But and that might come around to the Panada?
Yes, we've asked for it. It just hasn't been given a release date for us.
Yeah, there was a heck of a scene in there with a waterfall, and that was actually shot at Kootenai Falls. And people that are familiar with Kootenai Falls actually were recognizing that scene because it was in the trailer.
Yes. Yeah. Some people that were there helping on the film crew had asked us specifically at the Panada if we'd be the ones to show it. So But we've shown Trumbo, that's up for, and that was just an excellent film.
And what's that about?
And that was
Bryan Cranston actually depicts Trumbo, who was a A-list screenwriter, and it was during the Hoover years when they were going after communists, and he ended up spending a few years in jail. Prison for it, because he was part of the Communist Party at that point. And so that was what it was about.
And so this was also based on a true story.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. But Bryan Cranston's up for an Academy Award for Best Actor.
Yeah. And Bryan Cranston was the main actor in Breaking Bad.
Yes. Exactly.
He's a heck of
an
actor.
He was the school teacher gone bad.
Gone way bad.
Way bad. And then we, coming up in a couple of weeks in February, we have Brooklyn on the marquee for Valentine's Day weekend. So we're going to have Brooklyn on Valentine's Day and a couple days before that. So that's also nominated.
It's also nominated.
And would you say that's a little bit of a sleeper? I haven't heard that much about it.
You know, it's gained. We actually started asking for it in October.
Okay.
They do. A lot of the people who release the films, they will do what they call a limited release. And when they do a limited release, that means that they'll only go towards the big cities first and see how the movie does in the theaters. And then once they see how the movie does in the big theaters in the big cities, then they'll start releasing it to us art houses after that.
And what is that movie about? Brooklyn.
It's an Irish girl and a Brooklyn boy.
Ah, and well-known people in it? I mean, or is it...
You know, I have
not. They're not relatively.
They're not big names.
Not big names.
And that's Amanda Posey, Finola Dwyer, and I'm not actually familiar with either of those.
They're not really well known, and that's partially why it was kind of a soft release. The other soft release was Room, and Room is now up for one, and that had been on our list as well, and they did not let us have that one because of the limited release. So that one's been on our list for a while.
So when are you getting Brooklyn?
Brooklyn is the second week in February during Valentine's Day weekend. So
yeah, they did the same thing to us with The Big Short, and then a couple others that they just went with the big theaters and wouldn't let us have it because we only show, you know, for 3 to 5 days at the most.
I see. So they book into theaters that will guarantee a longer run.
Yeah, exactly, mm-hmm. exactly. So that was, you know, part of the conference that we just went to was the Arts House Convergence, which is specifically held right before Sundance so that people attending can go on into Sundance. And the Arts House Convergence is art house theaters and people who run festivals. And one of the things that I heard several times was the hardest thing to do was to run a single screen theater. I went, wow, feel our pain. But it was talking about some of these things that are making it difficult for art houses. And one is that limited release and movies go so quickly into video on demand or right into DVD that because they want to capitalize on that advertising, but it cuts out the art houses. And so the art houses are saying, hey, we've made your bread and butter. You need to make sure that we're getting a chance to show the movies.
So once they go into a video release, they're still available, though, to the Panada?
They are. Yeah. But it's hard to pay. You know, we have to pay a minimum every time we get a film. And if we have a minimum crowd, you know, we cost the Panada money. So we have to be really careful about that.
How big of a crowd do you need usually to just even, you know, meet your expenses on a movie showing?
A good movie showing would be 150. So.
And you tend to get that. Certainly with the bigger.
Yeah, with the bigger ones, you know, but that's not part of our mission.
Yeah.
Is to always just show the big ones. So, you know, we throw in the foreign and the documentaries and that type of thing, because that's what we want to do it as mission driven, community driven theater. But there's sometimes you make a little more money on the ones that are more well known, of course.
So does Sandpoint have like a core group of people that always show up for what you would consider an art house flick?
Yes, yes, definitely. We're also trying to appeal to multi-generations. If you think about what appeals to a millennium versus what a baby boomer wants. So there are certain crowds that come more for this type of genre and some that come for, the other type. Mm-hmm. But there's always core groups that are pretty loyal mm-hmm. to the Panada.
And it seems like a lot of movies that fall under that genre are foreign language films.
Yes.
Yeah, we have, and that's one of the things that at Art House Convergence I went to was the Europa meetings, basically. They did a multi workshops throughout the day, and I'm not sure if they're called workshops, but what's great is the panel was on the panel was a woman who is in charge of the German film, you know, group. There was a woman there who was in charge of the Italy. There was a woman there that was, it was pretty interesting because it was all women except for one guy who was out of France. And so it was great listening to this board of people from the different countries talking about how they would like to make it easier to get their films to us, because what they found is people do like to see foreign films, but there right now we're only getting, you know, a 0.0% of just their best films that that go towards the Oscars for best foreign film and things like that. And so that's what this whole talk was about that.
And I presume that is due to the fact that there's a huge distribution network you have to work through.
Exactly.
You can't just get in touch with somebody in France and say, hey, I want your film.
Right.
You have to work through distributors that are in the United States.
And we have to be able to see it. You know, that's the other part is distributors help us be able to see the films in the first place. So if they're not even going through a distributor, if that film didn't get distributed, well, right there, that film's, in the background, you know, definitely on video only. So that's what that's what this was all about. This panel was all about, was trying to get their films out, just like we do in America. You know, there's probably some gems out there that you and I'll never see because that one film didn't get distribution even here in the States. So,
right. And it must be a line to walk, because you can't take a film, even if it's the greatest film ever, that nobody knows about. Because then you're not going to get the audience to see it, and you won't be able to pay your expenses.
And, you know, they have to have a name to get it.
Well, a perfect example of that was we just showed Hitchcock Trudeau. And Trudeau was not only a filmmaker, but also a writer, and he wrote this book about Hitchcock. And so what he did is he did all of these, when he interviewed him, he taped them all. And so that's what this movie was about. And they called it a documentary, but, you know, really what they did is they took all these pieces of Hitchcock films and all, you know, when they interviewed all these really Martin Scorsese, Fincher, these huge directors today, and they interviewed them about how Hitchcock was a part of their lives. And it was an amazing film, not just because of what they said about him, but also pieces of their films that they showed throughout this movie. And it was a compilation of all these, you know, why Hitchcock was such a big and still is such a huge factor in filmmaking today.
Such a big influence.
Yes.
Yeah. He had so many famous films. And for his day now, he was making films in the 40s and 50s, was it?
Yeah. And early, and then later. Yeah.
And later than that.
That even, interview took place in 1962.
Okay.
But that's a great example. So we did not have a big turnout for that. But it's part of our mission to show that type of thing.
Yeah. And, it was a very high-quality film.
Very high-quality. I mean, I will own it when it comes out on DVD. I was that impressed with it.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's definitely one you want to own later on because it is so influential and just so well done. Yeah. And like I said, they're showing pieces of some of Hitchcock's greats and why he did certain things. It was just fantastic film.
Mm-hmm.
And we've shown, back on the Oscar front, we've shown Thebe, and then we have another one coming up, Mustang, and both of those are on the Oscar nomination list. So, you know, we're doing our best to plug in the documentaries, the foreign films, all the different genres, but there's a lot.
Now, the two you just mentioned, are those documentaries?
No.
Thebe, they're both up for foreign film.
Foreign film. I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's just talk a moment about documentaries. They don't necessarily bring in the whole community to see a entertainment style movie, but I just watched Amy, and that is up for an Oscar for documentary. An amazing film again. If you love music, just her interpretation and her creative bringing music into the world with her voice, it was pretty something. And then the kind of the tragedy of her life.
Well, and you know, the other thing is we want to keep in mind that I kind of understand the distribution side a little bit, too, that we want to keep hearing these stories. Like, I would never know all the story of Amy without movies, without documentaries. So we want to keep that genre going, but it has to, you know, they have to pay their bills, too. Mm-hmm. So I understand their problems with distribution, and that was one of the other reasons we went to that Art House Convergence, is because we wanted to see if there were some maybe new delivery systems or new ways that the Panada can get updated and upgraded to kind of get some of those types of things. The other thing that I was very interested in attending were some conference workshops that I went to on screening live events. One of the very first live concerts ever shown across the to our side of the pond was David Bowie. So it's kind of nice to think that back in, you know, that genre brought us concerts like David Bowie on your screen. So we're trying to figure out a way to, we need fiber optics into the Panada or a satellite dish in order to do those live events. But you can do National Theater Live, you can do the Metropolitan Opera, you can do ballet, anime, a lot of different genres that we can see on the screen. And we can't climb on a jet and go to London to see those.
So that's actually live streaming.
Live streaming.
Oh, that would be very exciting.
Yeah. So, will you require additional equipment aside from the fiber optic?
Not a little minimal equipment, probably like a monthly type of equipment that we would have to have at the Panada.
Yeah. It's basically a system that would be able to stream that particular whatever we want to show, which is a company we're talking. That's what we talked to two different companies while we were there. One is a company called Preludio, which is actually out of Portland, Oregon. They started the all the so-called living room theaters, which you know. So that's we're talking to them right now, and that they specialize in not only indie films but also live event type stuff.
You know. Just happened to. We taped the Kennedy Center Honors, which it showed about two weeks ago. Is that the type of event that you could get as a live stream?
So one example is National Theater Live. They just had Cumberbatch doing Hamlet.
Oh my gosh!
And I don't know about you, but I would, and over here, if we were to see that, even in the United States, if that were to be brought to the United States, the tickets would be phenomenal. So if we could make it an affordable price for you to come to the Panada and watch that on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
And when they do the Metropolitan Opera, I mean, think of what that would do for the music conservatory students or, you know, our own, or the theater, what that would do for our own local drama mm-hmm. to see professional theater mm-hmm. done like that. So when they do the Metropolitan Opera, they take you backstage, they show you the costuming, they show you the pit, the orchestra pit. So, you know, just that kind of glimpse at things would just be a phenomenal thing to be able to offer. So we're trying to figure out. It's been something I've been working on for a year, and it was nice to go to that conference and find out it now has brought a lot of extra money into theaters and really helping the citizens see things they wouldn't ordinarily get to see.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd say overall this conference brought new ideas and new direction, you know, within what you're already doing, which is quite a bit, but kind of fills in some of the gaps in your thinking and decision-making as we progress.
It's also inspiring and uplifting to be around people who are arts-driven, who are trying to do this for the artistic side of it. And it's really invigorating when we're competing all the time with the big box theaters. This was a place where that was celebrating an art house. And so community-driven theater is what all these other people there were celebrating. So that was really nice to be in the company of people who feel your pain but celebrate your pain. So,
did you find that there were not a lot of small towns like ours that had an art theater?
No, they, in fact, several had gone under because they were not able to sustain. Like I said, the one thing I kept hearing is how hard it is to have a single screen, which is probably why it's really important for us to keep that little theater. You know, we keep building it and building it. We just had another great weekend in there. So us building that, what happens in there, at least opens it up a little bit more for us. But they're talking about the economic challenge, and that is the challenge that Sandpoint has supported all. I mean, we're community supported. So,
And to clarify, the little theater is the small theater you have that's adjacent to the the Panada, the main thing. And that seats about 100 people?
A little less than that, a little less than 90.
Uh-huh. What kind of events have you been getting in there? You mentioned a good one this last weekend.
We just had Cat in Paris, and that was a nominated film several years back. So we just showed that. Some of the local French students came because that was a French foreign animated nominee. So. Mm-hmm.
And the little theater, of course, both the Panada and the small theater are available for community rental for live performances.
Absolutely.
And I want to talk some more about one you have coming Thursday in a little bit. But is it, I mean, do you want to do a shout out for what that facility is so people that might have events coming that would like to know about it?
Well, you know, Banff is a great example. So, you know, Michael Bogue rents the theater for Banff every year. And and I wish there were 500 people every night for all of our movies. But it's awesome that we have that and that people turn out for that type of thing. And he raises money for a specific cause that he has in mind.
A school in Peru.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we have that. We have several people that rent it for fundraising for their organizations. And, you know, for that reason, we don't charge rent that would equal what it costs us, actually. We charge rent that helps the community come in the doors. Mm-hmm. And so we have people rent it for movies, lectures. We have an opera coming up with that's a collaborative effort between the Music Conservatory and POAC. So POAC rents most of their season is performed on the Panada. And then we have people that come in and do concerts as fundraisers as well.
And the Little Theater, also available for rental, it's good for smaller, it takes a lot to fill up a 500 seat theater.
It does, and that's why that little theater is ideal. In fact, Scotchman's Peak just did it for their 11th anniversary, and it was busting at the seams, but they got everybody in there. Yeah. So, and then we just had a little kid's birthday party where they decorated cardboard boxes like cars, and you know, and the moms got to relax, and then they watched a movie. It was just an ideal little thing. And you know, if I was a mom, I'd be going, whoa, I don't have to clean up after this one. So, you know, it's a great
That's a great
use
idea.
Of space. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then we'll have, you know,
weddings.
We've had a wedding in there. And so we've had a wedding in both theaters now since I've been here.
So listeners that are having events coming up, keep that in mind that the little theater as well as the big theater are available for community rental. And that's part of the mission of the Panda.
Absolutely.
want to remind our listeners that this is the 88.5 KRFY Morning Show with Chris and Susie, and we're talking this morning with Patricia Walker-White. She is the executive director of the Panda Theater, as well as Becky Rivak. She's the Panda events manager. And we're going to talk a little bit more about what's happening with kind of a big event coming up on Fridays and Saturdays, the Oscar-nominated shorts. And so, Becky, tell us, what are the shorts? Well, tell us, describe, if you would, what's happening Friday and Saturday.
Friday night, we start off with our 2016 Oscar-nominated shorts. Again, like Patricia said earlier, they actually contacted us this year and wanted to know when we wanted them. So it wasn't about if we wanted them. Now they just want to know when we want them, which was great because we have them the very opening weekend that they're shown in theaters. Which is unprecedented, really, for a theater like ours. So what we're starting with Friday night is our live-action shorts that are nominated, which is we have the movies are from Palestine, Kosovo, Germany, Ireland, and then one from the U.S. And so that's the thing that's great about seeing the nominated shorts is you get to see movies from all over the world. You only have to sit there for an hour and a half to 2 hours at the most and get, five, possibly six when you get into the documentaries, different films from different countries. So that's the beauty of shorts.
And they're running like 15 to 25 minutes or so, or even shorter. Some of them are even short shorts, right?
Yeah, exactly. We have a short in the animated group that's only 7 minutes long. And then in our documentaries, that's where it gets a little bit longer. They can go up to, I believe, 52 minutes is our longest documentary short. And because they had so many documentaries, they split that into two sections. So we have documentaries on a Saturday night and then again on Sunday afternoon. When you get a ticket for the documentary, it's going to be a ticket for both compared to the other ones. If you get in, you just get a ticket for that specific one, or in all events that gets you into every single document or short.
So to clarify, Friday at 7:30 p.m. are the live action shorts.
Friday at 7:30 and Saturday at 5:30, we'll be showing the exact same grouping of live action shorts.
Okay.
So you get to see, you have a chance to see it two different times. And then on Saturday at 3:30 and Sunday at 1:30, you have a chance to see the animated shorts, exactly the same lineup. And then for the documentary shorts, program A is Saturday night at 7:30, which will consist of three different films. And then program B will be on Sunday at 3:30, which will consist of two shorts.
Okay.
And if you get a documentary ticket, you get to see, you can go into
go both dates.
Yes,
I
exactly.
See. Okay.
And animated doesn't necessarily mean kids.
Yes.
So, and this year in particular, I mean, I don't know if anybody's seen some of the films out there, but animated's really taken a whole new road, and you have to be just as cautious as if you're a parent about the animated. And so this year there is one at the end of the animated that is not appropriate for kids, and so they purposely paused the film without warning to give parents a chance to leave the theater so they can watch the first four and leave if they don't want to stay for that last one. But
so what's the last one now?
I know, curious. Now you're all curious, right? Well, now you have to come to and so you can get an all-access pass and go whenever you want, all weekend long, or you can go to the specific ones that you want. But, we had to put the documentaries into two. And last year we didn't have the documentaries. They offered those to us this year. And so that's why we had to have those on part one and part two. So that's the only one that is not a total repeat. But live action and animated are repeated twice.
There's a lot of information there. And is all of this information on your website at panida.org?
Absolutely.
PANIDA, if anyone's listening. Or you can call 255-7801.
That's the office.
Okay. If they had a really burning question.
They had a burning question.
But the information is on your website. All those different times and places. And are the names of the shorts on the website?
We have a trailer that, so when you go to get a ticket, if you want, when you look at the bottom, you'll see a little connection, a link. So you can click on that link and you can actually watch the trailers of each film.
Oh, that's helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the animated shorts, you said the first four are family friendly.
Yes.
And so they are oriented towards children too. But, you know, the sophistication in animation now is so phenomenal that people are very interested in that.
Yes.
Just as a phenomena. Yeah. Of what can be done.
Right. And we do really well, every year we've done really well with the live action and animated shorts. And that's why we're stepping out into bringing the documentaries in, because we don't always do as well. So if you have any interest in watching documentaries, you know, show up, because that'll keep us getting the documentaries. Otherwise, it's not always worth our the money that we have to spend on them to get them in.
And the, again, you have a set of documentaries that are showing on Saturday.
Yeah.
At 7:30, is it?
Yeah, yes. 7:30.
And then again, a second grouping of documentaries that will show on Sunday.
At 3:30.
At 3:30.
Yeah.
So it's three big days of Oscar-nominated shorts.
Full house. I have an idea. I think we should take a little musical break and come back and talk a little bit more with our friends here from the Panada. What do you think, Chris?
I think so. And I we specifically want to talk about the Bel Canto opera that's coming up on Thursday.
Yes, definitely. Let's have a say at that. We're going to take a short musical break. This was the number one song in 1965. It's called Downtown by Petula Clark. However, there's a little trivia involved here. A very young gentleman was the guitar player on this track. His name was Jimmy Page, who later formed Led Zeppelin.
Mm-hmm. First he was with the Yardbirds, and then he went on to Led Zeppelin.
Yep.
Two classics. And Led Zeppelin, of course, is a huge classic band, yeah.
So let's see if we can hear Jimmy Page on this cut. Petula Clark's Downtown. We'll be right back with more of the KRFY Tuesday edition of The Morning Show with Chris and Susie. And that was Petula Clark, Downtown, and we're in the studios of 88.5 KRFY for the KRFY Morning Show with Chris and Susie. And we have special guests from the Panada, Patricia Walker-White, Executive Director, and Becky Revac, Events Manager. So we're back, and we're going to talk a little bit more. You had some stuff you wanted to talk about, Chris.
There's always stuff to talk about.
Stuff.
We're going to be talking about the Bel Canto opera that's coming Thursday. It's going to be at the Panada. But we want to revisit the topic we've been on, which is the Oscar and the Oscar-nominated shorts that are going to be showing a big three-day extravaganza here, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And Becky, you were just mentioning something interesting. In this age where everybody's got a big screen TV, why are people still going to the movies?
Well, at the Art House Convergence we went to, statistics were a big deal because they wanted to know why art houses might be doing well and why they might not be doing well. One of the things that this big statistic was is that there's still 1.3 billion people walking through the doors of a theater. Not that they're making that much, which they're probably, you know, making triple that, but with that, when that many bodies are going through the doors of a movie theater, they had a chance to do some polling. And one of the things that they did with the polling was they asked them, you know, why do you like to go to movie theaters? Why do you even like to still see movies? And the top three answers were that they still liked the idea that people are creating a story. And so they liked going to a theater and see the creativity that they could get on a big screen and see that in how the director envisioned it. And on a TV, you don't get the scope that you get on a movie screen. And then the second one was that because movies challenge their minds, a lot of times, even if it's a not true story like Trumbo, they still are learning something most of the time. Somehow, some way through that story, they learn something, whether it's about, you know, themselves or
whatever. Yeah, storytelling normally Absolutely. Has a moral, a theme, and a lesson to be taught. So, even the fiction, obviously, we learn something from those.
Yeah, and then the third top answer was because they like that, they believe that movie theaters are today's story around the campfire, that it's a form of storytelling today that they can get with a group of people. When you're sitting at home alone or with your family, it's not necessarily all-encompassing. You don't laugh out loud and make everybody else laugh around you, those other 60 or 70 people that are sitting next to you. And so that was the other part, is it was the enjoyment factor of being in a big group of people, being able to have that same old style storytelling around them.
So, sharing a common experience.
So mm-hmm. I thought that was interesting. And today in a world of, staring at your phones, I thought that was interesting to be number three in.
So I just happened to see an interesting news blip, the Sundance Film Festival. I think it's happening right now.
It is.
And apparently some of the big films or some of the ones that are getting buzz are not coming from the traditional studios. They're coming from Amazon and Netflix. Was there any discussion at the Art House Theater about how those those streaming media are affecting the industry?
Oh, yeah, definitely. That was one. That, in fact, that was one of the things that one of the panels that I went to listen to, which is a big problem for people like, in a group like ours, like where we have to sometimes wait for that limited release. And when we get that limited release passed, all of a sudden they go, oh, well, this movie's not doing so well, so we're just going to go straight to video with it and give it to Netflix or give it to, movies on demand. Those type of outlets, which is very frustrating for art houses like ours, because that's what we kind of rely on, is getting that movie as quickly as we can, especially if it's got a name in it. If it's got a name in it, then we have a lot better chance of getting an audience in our doors.
We actually had lunch one of the days with a director of a film coming out called Love Thy Nature, and we're going to have that film for Earth Day. But she actually asked me how much it would hurt us if she were to release it to video before it's done in the theaters. And so it was really nice to sit down with the director and have the director asking that question. And I said, it actually would hurt us. And she told us Liam Neeson is the voice on that film. And he offered to come back when she releases it to video to do commercials. So it's kind of a catch-22 for her. And I said, what if you gave all of the art houses a chance to get it on for Earth Day and then you release it and then you could still capitalize on that advertising? And she said, that's so refreshing to hear somebody think outside that box, because that's a great approach. And so that the Panda will be showing. We're going to try and partner with some of our local groups that have those issues in mind, because it's a stunning film, and put that on for Earth Day. So,
and if you get Liam Neeson up here to introduce it,
I'm sorry.
You will fill the
just to come, but you get to watch this on the big screen, this beautiful cinematography and his voice. I can think of very little else that would make that day better.
That will do it, huh? One question I had, just back to the Oscar-nominated shorts. Now, a lot of the movies you show, we might be able to get in DVD later or something like that. But these shorts probably are not available. The only way you are going to see them is through an art movie house.
Yeah, that's correct. And that's one of the things that this conference was really talking about the most, is that the new way that people are making their films shown really are by festivals. That's why so many art houses now are actually backing festivals or making their own festivals, starting their own film festivals, because that's the way, people who they know will not get distribution or maybe go on Netflix and be in the, long list of clutter that's in Netflix and, what's the other one?
Amazon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Prime. That's one of the things that they're doing, is they're starting their own festivals. So now the audiences around the United States are able to see these great films that have been done. And so I think, that's exactly right on what you said.
We also had dinner with the gentleman that brought us the Manhattan Short Film Festival, and which will be on our calendar again this year. But two of those films that we all screened during that Manhattan are up for Oscars. And so that was kind of fun to see. We've already seen, very rarely do we hear up in San Juan get to say, well, I've already seen that, It's kind of a nice little bragging rights that we voted on it, right. And actually the two that are on the Oscar nominations were very highly voted by our patrons. So
yeah. I think we voted Shock as number two. And but The Bear Story, I do believe, was number one
the winner
in the animated piece.
Yeah. In our local And we all voted, and we all sent our votes in to the Manhattan Short people, and we were part of that.
So what we're finding out is these small art houses, be them in small rural communities, large college towns, really have a vital role to play in the artists who are producing these films, but also in the kind of the education of our communities.
Absolutely.
And the inspiration for our citizens.
You know, the Panet has always been mission-driven and continues to be so, and not every movie theater gets to say that. And I think that's bragging rights for the community that we serve.
And what is that mission?
to provide a wide genre of films that educate and entertain. So
yeah, not just top Hollywood films. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yes. You know, that's the other thing, too. One of the things I learned at this was that because of that Hateful Eight, they put in 89 70-millimeter film projectors around the United States to show this film because Tarantino wanted to make sure it was shown and how he wanted it to be seen. So all of these theaters, except for the art houses that already had it in there, like the Castro Theater in San Francisco and some other, you know, art houses that have kept their 35-millimeter and 70-millimeters in line, were able to show this movie if you want to see it. But that's the big deal, is that the art houses still were able to show that because they haven't gotten rid of all of that.
It's totally digital stuff.
Yes, exactly.
So interesting that a director would demand 35 millimeter too in this day and age of digital.
Yeah. I think we should, let's do one quick shout out while we're on the topic of film. And we actually have a film festival that rolls around here annually,
absolutely,
don't we?
Absolutely.
The Sandpoint Film Festival. And that's a showcase for local, regional, independent filmmakers to get their works shown before a larger audience. Who puts that on?
The Sandpoint Films is a nonprofit group here in Sandpoint that puts that on. It's always the first Saturday of November every year, and it's now they're going to be going into their sixth year this year, maybe seventh. But that's led by Janice Jarzabek, who's in charge of that, and she's done a great job of keeping it. And again, the same thing, it's short films, so we do three blocks of short films throughout the day that day, and it's great because you get local people who've made films, and then, you know, all over the world too. Mm-hmm. We had an international film from Cuba won this year.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
And the Panada tries to match kind of a genre from some of the winners from the Sandpoint Film Festival, and we put them as shorts before a movie. We did that last year, and so we keep those on our radar of what might fit coming up, and then do a little double feature. But like the Banff Film Festival that we just had, Michael Bogue goes up and picks which ones from the film festival that he's going to bring back, and he has 3 days or 3 nights of different films. So,
mm-hmm. And that's always sold out.
Always sold out.
Yeah.
So.
It's a fun party, too. Which people like.
So, okay, let's switch gears a little bit here. Let's talk about something else that's coming to the pan on Thursday. The Music Conservatory of Sandpoint is bringing in an opera trio.
Yes.
Tell us about that. That's coming up this Thursday, just a couple days.
So, Sandpoint, sometimes we just have these gems of people that choose to live here. And we have three amazing talents that chose to live in Sandpoint and Karin is the leader of the group, I would say, of this trio that from the Music Conservatory. And they have an opera that they have written and they're putting together that is about the light and dark. And so they're doing some interesting things with lighting and the opera. And they're hoping to take this to larger genres after the Panada. So we're going to premiere it for them, and then they hope to take it on the road, per se.
Is the name of it Bel Canto? So they've named it Bel Canto.
Bel Canto Opera.
Bel Canto.
Opera
and it's
trio.
An original. I mean, this
it's
is
an original,
big
yeah.
deal.
This is huge.
To come out of Sandpoint.
And, you know, just the vocal talents in this are just amazing. So.
And so opera tells a story through song.
Through song, right.
Now, the traditional operas are sung in Italian, I believe. Is this in Italian or is it in English?
I think you'd probably have to explore the little particulars with Karin, but because I'm just listening to the snippets of rehearsal, mm-hmm. I have opened the Panit up a little extra than our normal genre for them to come in and practice and work with this lighting, because the light into the dark is a huge part of this story. No, so we're doing some playing around with the lighting effects. And
some people say they're not opera fans, but there's nothing like amazing voices telling a story through song.
Right.
It's a whole nother experience, and it doesn't matter. The experience is right there in front of you, and I can attest to that. It's a good thing.
You know, we have a fairly large number of people that have to drive to get opera, so I'm sure that this is on their radar as being right here. And accessible is pretty
Three
pretty
amazing
nice.
Voices, mm-hmm. as you say. So that's Thursday night, January 28th at the Panada.
At 7:30 p.m. Doors open at 7 p.m. And the ticket price is probably about a fifth of what you would pay for in a larger city.
You can get tickets at POAC for that.
And the box office the night of the show.
And at Eve's Leaves and at iCarts.
Okay. Well, what do you think?
Well, I think anything else you want to mention coming up at the Panada?
You know, just that we always try to listen to what the patrons want and try to bring in what we can. So we're, you know, you can send us an email at panadatheater@panada.org or, you know, drop us a note through the mail slot, whatever. You know, if there's a film that's come across your radar that you'd really like to see, you know, shown at the Panada, you know, we listen and do our best. And we can't get everything in, but we'll sure give it a try. So,
what are you looking forward to expansion-wise with the Panada? I know you did the ceiling recently, and I don't mean physically, but moving in, what were you inspired by to kind of bring a new...
Physically, on the physical side of it, I'd really like to find some grants out there to bring our lighting and our sound up to date. It's pretty antiquated out there. So sometimes you have to say a little prayer over that lighting board. It's so old. So that's physically what I'd like to, you know, focus on. But on the other side of it, moving into it, is that live event on the screen. I just think that would be such an awesome thing for our community and something that not only our older arts crowd, but our younger arts crowd, you know, they need to see what they're aspiring to. Mm-hmm. So if you think your dream is to be an actor, to watch Cumberbatch do something like Hamlet on a screen would show you what you're really aspiring for. What, you know, even as an older actor, you could go in and be inspired by that. Or music conservatory students to watch an actual performance of an orchestra. You know, that type of thing, I think, would add something we're not getting up here.
So to actually bring that into the Panada, this is a live stream of, events that are happening. It could be anywhere in the world, actually. You really require that fiber optic, that very high speed internet connection, which is coming, right?
Right.
Yeah, the city is working on it right now. They're laying, they've been over the course of the fall and early winter, they were laying the conduit down the streets to bring the fiber optic cable in, and they're negotiating to have a company that will light it up and actually run the service. So, we're not that far off for the Panada.
We're hoping, because right now you could try and show up, but it'd stop and buffer at every particular event. So that's one of the big things that I think that we could do for the community. And you know, we do put in a tremendous amount of time, as you can imagine. Becky works really hard at this film thing. It's not an easy thing, especially for a single screen theater like ours. And so it does take a commitment, a continuing commitment from the community to keep the doors open, because we can't keep doing this without help. So.
All right. So we have to thank you for coming in today and giving us a little bit of a glimpse into the inner workings of the Panada, because I've been educated. And so Patricia Walker-White, Executive Director, and Becky Rivak, Events Manager of the Panada, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having
us. And for all the hard work you're doing to keep the Panada going, which really enhances our experience of life here, our lifestyle in Sandpoint, our beautiful little community.
Yeah, we appreciate it. You know, the movies have changed a ton, and how you get movies has changed. The old days, they could make money on just the movies, and now there's just too many different things, too many different options. So we appreciate that you are our community radio and care a lot about the Panada and help us to keep that up in front.
I think we have a nice partnership with Apanada. And just
absolutely.
A little highlight coming up on May 6th, the KRFY benefit concert with the Little Smokies. And opening will be Doug Bond and Terry Ludeker. So May 6th, put it on your calendar now.
And that is at the Panada.
At the Panada, and you're going to want to get those tickets early because that will be another sold-out show.
Absolutely. Thank you. And hope you have a great day. We're going to listen to a song right now. This is Marvin Gaye. It was the number one song in 1969. This is Marvin Gaye. I heard it through the grapevine. We'll be right back with a little bit more calendar events. And that was Marvin Gaye. I heard it through the grapevine, the number one song on this day in 1969. And you're listening to 88.5 KRFY, and this is The Morning Show with Chris and Susie on this Tuesday, January 26th. So what else is going on there, Chris?
Oh, there's always a lot going on, Susie, in our town. I thought I'd throw a shout out, though. Next week on The Morning Show on Tuesday with the Chris and Susie, we're going to be talking with Jennifer Stapleton. She's the new city administrator, and it'll be a chance for folks to get to know our new city administrator better. Of course, that was kind of a big discussion in town, whether we should even have a city administrator. So it's been she's forging a new position for the city. We can talk about the ramifications of that.
See how it's going for her coming into this new town and what she thinks of our community.
Yeah, and she's been on the job for about a month now.
We just have about a half a minute left. We want to remind our listeners that tonight at 7 o'clock, you can tune in to 88.5 KRFY for our newest show. It's called Live and Local. And enjoy an hour of live local musicians in the studios of KRFY. Hear their original songs and stories right here. And that's, again, tonight at 7. This week, the guests are Beth Peterson and Betsy Hammett. So that's always fun. And we do podcast all of our interviews on The Morning Show, and the Live and Local show is also podcast on our website at krfy.org. And that's pretty much about it.
That's about all we have time for. There's a ton of things going on in town. We didn't get into the calendar much here, but go to krfy.org or sandpointonline.com and see the extensive bunch of happenings this week.
There you go. We're going to go out with a song. It was the number one song in, let's see, when was it? It was the number one song in 1963. It's by the Rooftop Singers called Walk Right In. We hope you have a beautiful day.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.